John Ray Getz of Virginia. Jack H. Gregory Jr. of South Carolina. James Herrick Hall Jr. of District of Columbia. Bond Harris of North Carolina. Robert Earl Harris Jr. of Virginia. Herbert Harold Heath of South Carolina. Alan Holt Higginbotham, Florida. Charles Sidney Henson, North Carolina. Kenneth Lee Hollifield, North Carolina. Maurice Shuford Hollifield, South Carolina. Harry James Hufstetler, Jr. of North Carolina. Robert Allison Ivy of South Carolina. James Hardy Johnson of South Carolina. Wesley Mills Johnson of Maryland. Wayne DeWitt Kennedy of North Carolina. King of North Carolina. Robert Chalmers Laughlin of North Carolina. John B. McCaskill of South Carolina. Charles L. McMillan, Jr. of North Carolina. Delos Miles of South Carolina. Robert Lee Mobley of Florida. Glenn Randolph Mosteller, South Carolina. Richard Lloyd Muse of North Carolina. Kenneth M. Newton, South Carolina. Donald Ray Nieswanger, Missouri. Paul Clifford Nix of North Carolina. Donald Allen Phillips of Alabama. H. Fleet Powell Jr. of Virginia. Alvin C. Powers of Virginia. Howard Sylvester Price of North Carolina. Coy Clarence Privet of North Carolina. Abraham Venable Ray of North Carolina. Benjamin Lake Reams III of South Carolina. Leonard Roland Robinette of Louisiana. Harold Terry Rochester of South Carolina. Carol Ray Rogers of South Carolina. Edwin John Rowan III of South Carolina. Earl Allen Sapp of Florida. James Henry Smith of Virginia. Johnny Joseph Smith of North Carolina. Robert Wendell Sodegren of Virginia. Kerry L. Steele of South Carolina. Riley J. Stewart of Virginia. Joseph Claude Strother Jr. of Virginia. Kenneth Edward Thornton of Virginia. John Thomas Truluck of South Carolina. Charles Herman Wellens of North Carolina. Fred Earl Williams of South Carolina. Charles Raymond Wilson of South Carolina. Herbert G. Zeroff of Florida. I present to you the men who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Theology, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Gentlemen and brethren, upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Theology, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. And now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to be invested with the master's hood and to receive your diploma.
Mr. Charles Austin Beckett of Virginia has successfully completed a major in the area of historical interpretation of Christianity. He has produced a satisfactory thesis on the subject, Sin and Salvation in Islam. Mr. Donald Eugene Cook of South Carolina has successfully completed a major in the area of the interpretation of the Bible. He has written a satisfactory thesis on the subject, the Lucan concept of the Lord's Supper. Mr. William Heller Dyer of North Carolina has completed a major in the area of the historical interpretation of Christianity. He has written a satisfactory thesis on the subject, an examination of some aspects of canon law in medieval England. Mr. William Randall Lolly of Alabama has completed a major in the area of the Christian interpretation of life and thought. He has written a thesis on the subject, the Christology of Nels F.S. Ferrey. Mr. Emil Alexander Milik of New Jersey has completed a major in the area of the Christian interpretation of life and thought. He has written a thesis on some aspects of the ethic of Karl Marx. Calvin E. Raines of North Carolina has successfully completed a major in the area of the interpretation of the Bible. He has written a thesis on the subject, The Dreams of the New Testament. Mr. Paul Eugene Wren, Jr. of Florida has completed a major in the area of the interpretation of the Bible. He has written a thesis on the subject, The Concept of the Kingdom of God in the Ministry of Jesus as it relates to the Anglican of Mark 1:15. Of South Carolina has successfully completed a major in the area of an interpretation of the Bible. He has written a thesis on the subject, The Meaning of Revelation According to the Gospel of Paul, as found in Galatians 1, 11, and 12.
Privilege now to introduce one, so to speak, one who really needs no introduction, except to say this, that instead of presenting to you Dr. O.T. Binkley, I am presenting him whom I hope will be Dean O.T. Binkley, our Board of Trustees, through the Instruction Committee, which was authorized to vote, has unanimously asked him to become dean of our institution. And members of the faculty, fully conscious of this, have said amen and have added their earnest request. Dr. Binkley is willing to take it up if we can get together and outline duties that he feels he can carry forward, and I assure you that I'll outline them as far as I'm concerned in such a way that he can carry them forward. I look forward to years of association with him, to participating with him in bountiful fruits of one of the most bountiful spirits and minds I've ever known. I think they will deliver our charge then to the dragon. Grateful to Dr. Staley, to the faculty, and to the trustees for the confidence which they have expressed in me. And I am grateful to God for the spiritual bond which unites our lives in His church. In the division of labor on this occasion, it is my responsibility and high privilege to speak a few words to the members of the graduating class concerning the vocation which the founding fathers of one of our major universities called the grand errand of propagating the Christian religion
in human society. We are comrades in the task of making Christ known. We came to this seminary not primarily to implement personal ambitions, but to equip dedicated minds for more effective service. In the permissive atmosphere of this community of faith and of learning, we have been encouraged to speak the truth in love. Our knowledge of God and of man has been enlarged and deepened, and our intention to be good ministers of Jesus Christ has been clarified and fortified. We have had our share of distractions and disappointments, but we have never forgotten that the aim of our lives is to participate in the works of love which issue from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. A charge to men entrusted with the gospel should be firmly rooted in the scriptures. Let us focus attention in these moments upon a central conviction set forth in Paul's exposition of the minister's task and resources in his second letter to the Corinthians. He said, "Our sufficiency is from God, who has qualified us to be ministers of a new covenant." This affirmation concerning the nature of the Christian ministry and the source of power for its fulfillment is the essence of our message this morning. In the first place, we charge you to study and to serve as competent ministers of Christ. The word in the Greek New Testament, which is here translated sufficiency, means ability, fitness, competence for the work of the ministry. In addition to intelligence and integrity, competent ministers of Christ have a sense of mission, a knowledge of God, and a genuine love for all of their companions on the human pilgrimage. Amid the tensions of a troubled world, they order their lives by moral principles of action, and they proclaim the good news that the gospel is the power of God which convinces the mind, wins the heart, and transforms the life of everyone who believes. You have been laid hold of by the crucified and risen Lord, and you have promised to serve him to the end. We trust and believe that you will take your places humbly and gratefully among the competent and consecrated ministers who know what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, who are able to relate the Christian doctrines of the Incarnation, the cross, and the resurrection to the questions of the human mind and to the distresses of the human heart. who, like the good shepherd, call their own sheep by name and not by number, and who have the courage to stand on the front line of conscience and compassion in a complex and dynamic society. As Dr. Paul Scherrer has said, we may not be very good preachers, but we owe it to God, we owe it to the truth, we owe it to our people, and we owe it to ourselves to be as good as we are. In the second place, we charge you to remember that our competence as ministers is from God. We place high value upon the educational achievements which we are celebrating here today. You have demonstrated an ability for systematic scholarly work. You have established the habit of industrious and discriminating reading. You have completed a reasonably comprehensive course of study in a theological seminary. These academic victories, however, are inadequate equipment for the exacting tasks of the Christian ministry. You and I, within ourselves, are not strong enough, are wise enough, are good enough to be ambassadors for Christ in this crucial period of history. We are dependent at each moment and in every step upon the living God who was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and who has committed unto us the word and the ministry of reconciliation. When we stand in the pulpit to manifest the incarnate word from the written word through the spoken word, our sufficiency is from God. When we leave home and friends, learn a foreign language, and go to the ends of the earth to make disciples and to teach them to observe all that Jesus commanded, including the Sermon on the Mount, our fitness for the task is from God. When we refuse to adulterate the gospel or to tone down the moral imperatives of Jesus or to approve